also to others, surely I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. To food and drink, don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us as the other? I am Barnabas, who don't have the right not to work for a living. Who serves as a soldier at his own of the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written, is it about the oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, though he'll be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among us, right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? So Paul, in this, he's going on and on because people are holding jobs down while leading the church. They were actually getting supported from what was given, whether or not he has the right to any of this stuff. And so he goes on, and so this whole thing, we stopped partway through verse 12. If others have this right of support, not use this right. On the contrary, be put up with anything other than, yeah, we have these rights, but we haven't practiced them. Jump down to verse 19. To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one having not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in his blessing. And he says, I'm free. I give all of that freedom up so that whatever context I'm in, I can become. I can live in a way that relates to those people so that I can share the gospel. Well, means I might see some of them saved. Paul's posture when it came to all, because for the sake of the gospel, it's not about protecting my rights. That's Paul's approach to his rights. Then he gets into 1 Corinthians 10. Let's start at verse 23. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything. Eat anything that's sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then throw conscience. I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's thing I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good example, as I follow the example of Christ. Chapter 9, he starts, use my rights for the sake of others. And then he gets into 1 Corinthians 10. It's not just a text in which this was working itself out, but the general principle is you need to be thinking about others for the sake of others. Follow my example, he says. You say, I'm doing this, and this is what Jesus did. And so, our approach to our right to be able to care for and show love for and help others to see. Paul's posture releasing his rights. Paul's encouragement to other Christians is, you know what, you need to be released, be willing to rear with me, if you will. 1 Peter, it's right, getting pretty close to the back of your Bible. It's a little bit different. He talks about suffering. And I'll explain. But 1 Peter 4, starting at verse 12. Do not be surprised at the fire ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though some in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are in for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be suffer as a Christian. Do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. Well, that if he begins with us, what will become What will the outcome be for those who do it hard for the righteous to be saved? What will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according and continue to do good. So Peter is talking about suffering. And he says, if you're following Jesus, if you don't come across these ordeals, don't be shocked if you come up across suffering. We're following the example of Jesus and flies and unicorns and roses. He suffered immensely. Even before his example, so don't be surprised if things in the world turn against you in a way that caused you. It's a way of sharing in the suffering that our Savior faced. I mean, just think about Jesus' whole life, not just the cross. I mean, he took on flesh and became fully human. Those of us who have lived the human life, human, to start to grasp, he gave up a lot here. Was being raised by the son of parents that everyone. He started his infancy after that as an ex-leader because he didn't just conform. He was an annoyance to the political leaders because his commitment to people because he gave them what they needed, not what they wanted. Just so that they could get what they wanted from him. Stained him. And at the climax of it all, when the religious leaders arrested him, those people who had used him, their call for his blood, and his friends denied and deserted. He's the one we say we're following. The one we're following was willing to give up all of. And so Paul's habits and Paul's exhortation to us and Peter's words about suffering, they say that we shouldn't be surprised when we're called to walk away from our rights and even to suffer. We look like Jesus. We participate in his suffering. And it's going to hurt sometimes. But for the sake of the world, it's the Remembrance Day yesterday. A day when we remember men and women who gave up their lives for the sake of others. It's a big picture of the number of people that, sacrifice. But sometimes I like to think about the furthest cockpit. Picture of his wife resolved. His resolve is strengthened by looking at the face of the one he loves. And he stays up our rights and even being willing to suffer because we carry his gospel and know that the suffering is worth it. But in order to be willing to suffer, we need to be willing to give up our rights. And in doing that, stopping them from seeing the love of Jesus. Some of the social media stuff I interact with, but I've heard a lot of Christians kind of talking about and point to as losing our rights or as a couple of years ago. And I remember the speaker making a point that I think is really helpful to remember. Our persecution, only to have to deal with the things that we think are so hard for us. 1,500 years, closer to 1,700 years, the churches, Christians get tax breaks for giving to the work of God. Canada has been a place where Christianity has been privileged. We've been taught to defend our rights. It's almost like for a privilege to viewing that privilege as a right. I once heard a commuter airplane. So once they got up, they said, okay, the Wi-Fi's on, you can boot up your stuff. And so he boots up, the customer's getting angry that they don't have access to this thing that half an hour ago. As Christians in Canada, and as a church in Canada, we've enjoyed, and here's where I'm going with this, losing a place of privilege is hard. It isn't in of this world. He wasn't saying that his kingdom doesn't exist on earth, but this picture of God's kingdom being not of this world has been lost for all of this stuff. Or we start to feel even like we're being persecuted, the way the Bible talks about suffering for Christ. You know, not being able to control our of the gospel. I'm thankful we still do have that privilege. I'm grateful for the privilege, but if that was taken away, I tried to use that practice time to proselytize kids and suffering for the sake of Christ. I worked in a community once where the students, it was a really less privilege that we had. And then one of the youth leaders, he got kicked out, and subsequently all of the youth leaders got kicked out because to fudge the books at work because of your conviction. That could be a form of suffering for her when she asked to meet with you again. There's a good chance you weren't suffering for the sake. Mocked at school because you befriend a student who is on the fringe. She is something that you disagree with. If you get mocked because you show that kind of error, if Christians, collectively, we say, you know what, we're going to spend less time for conversation, dialogue, pushback, criticism, concerns. Releasing our rights will lead us to be, first of all, we'll be less offended. Saying that every time somebody looks at us wrong or says something negative to us, even if they're saying anything, we will be less offensive. Instead of fighting, really become offensive to people. A third thing, we will be more loving. Trying to force your rights down their throat. It's hard to really, truly love someone. Thing, and this has been one of the most helpful things for me as I think about it, is we will become way more reliant on that he can provide for us if we spend less time trying to make sure that we've got everything covered. I told you about, I went through a very difficult ministry experience in Peterborough once. I basically accepted less money that I probably had right to in order to just. But as a part of that process, taking the money that we took meant that we were to live in it. And so letting go of our rights actually made it for sale, and we ended up selling the house and having no clue what was going to happen, and had a mom who was a real estate agent and just said, look, like this is our situation. We're in it, like finish the year out here, but we really don't have that much to afford. What can we do? And rather owned a place just outside of town in the same school area as our son was in. They had a basement apartment, and they came to us, here's the basement apartment. It's yours for as long as you need it. Come stay here. Any rent, and this was when we were at a time when we were completely broken. This was an unbelievable gift. It was rural part of town, just big open spaces. They actually had this beautiful gift for a time of healing. That if we had spent all of our time and say, wait, I've got your back. I can show you. I can provide for you here. Sometimes it's better to let go of what you feel you deserve or you need to get. I want to give us a chance for some conversation. We've got a mic at the back, right? Awesome. Daniel's on it. He wants to push back on this. Yeah, but won't I just get run over up here?
Being born Canadian and having to go through a process, and with rights come responsibilities. And with my Canadian citizenship and being involved with my community and some other things, so that
that's anyone else taking citizenship tests. Say that, like, for me growing up, that wasn't primarily talked about. Heavy on the rights, low. So let me ask this: if we release our rights, does that also then release us? That was the question. Feel free to respond to that or something else.
I'm not sure this went on at one point when he was expressing the love that Covenant has shown to his family through this time from Covenant on more than one occasion when my life has just not been where I thought it would be. God provides, especially, again, as the older I get, the more I think I need to do it all and be responsible, allow him the way for him to provide.
As much as we can kind of go back and forth and make Daniel run, the better.
Together your presentation this morning, and I recall that I've shared your witness, or if you're going to share your faith or your beliefs with somebody, in some form, the walls come down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, yeah, we need to have that permission. I like that. You, so you can speak to this better than I can. But when this church was started, publicly deemed a cult, particularly by the Roman Catholic Church, is that correct? To be able to be here. And at that time, Glenn had a choice in the media. How did you choose to respond, Glenn?
I went to each of the St. Margaret's and actually talked to the lead father, intent to drag Catholics out of their church into our work. If people like, and yeah, things settled down after that. Yeah.
How do you think it would have gone with offense and fight for your kind of right to be here?
We were the ones who were just lurking there, trying not to be noticed.
I'm going to pray for us that as we move through this world, that we will find a way as citizens of the kingdom following the example of Jesus. God, I thank you. This chose to give up his divine rights, but ultimately his human rights to a fair trial. You did that because he loved us. And Paul challenges us to follow his example as he follows the example of Jesus. God, I ask that you would give us wisdom to know as we move through this world, as things happen that we don't like, to be able to discern when we just need to let go, when to be gracious and patient and kind and loving, and even in the face of removal of rights and potentially persecution, that help us to live as your hands and feet, that people, when they see us, would see the love of Jesus. Amen.